Washington gets a stern warning about the nation's credit rating. The fallout spreads from attacks on Google Gmail accounts. Efforts to write new financial regulations are way behind schedule. And The Times names its next executive editor. I'm Pat Lyons with a preview of Friday's New York Times. Our top story is about an ominous new turn in the battle over the federal debt ceiling. A major credit rating agency, Moody's Investors Service, has weighed in with a stark warning. If Republicans and Democrats don't reach a deal soon to raise the ceiling, Moody's will cut the country's sterling credit rating. While Moody's expected some political wrangling over the debt limit, the polarization in Washington is proving to be much worse than Moody's thought. The agency says a short-term default by the Treasury, all but unthinkable for decades, has now become a small but growing risk. The warning was much harsher than the one from Standard & Poor's 6 weeks ago, and it came as a slap to both sides of the aisle. President Obama met with a group of Democratic leaders on Thursday to look for a way forward on the issue. John Markoff and David Barboza of The Times report on the widening fallout from the reports of clandestine attacks on Gmail accounts, including some belonging to senior U.S. officials. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton said the FBI was investigating claims by Google that the attacks on its popular email service originated in China, a claim that Beijing angrily rejected. The attacks came in a form known as spear phishing, in which users are tricked into revealing passwords by a forged email message that seems to be from an acquaintance or friend. Google has said that whoever mounted the attack used it to monitor the victim's email without their knowledge. As federal prosecutors pursue insider trading cases, they have scored some high-profile arrests and convictions. But Peter Latman and William Rashbaum report in The Times that behind the scenes, the authorities' hardball tactics have spawned a culture of fear on Wall Street, affecting the lives of many people who have not been publicly accused of anything. Mr. Latman and Mr. Rashbaum take a close look at the case of Ephraim Karpel, a trader who was found hanged in his Manhattan office last week. 3 years before, Mr. Karpel was stopped on the street in Midtown by two FBI agents who told him he had been heard on a wiretap exchanging insider tips with another trader, Zvi Goffer, and they pressed him to wear a wire and help them gather evidence against others. He apparently did so for about a year, but his name never surfaced in connection with any insider trading case until last week, when some of those wiretap recordings were played in court. Mr. Karpel's wife told The Times that the investigation by the FBI was her husband's unraveling, sending him into a spiral of depression, even though he was never charged with any wrongdoing. Budget cuts in state court systems are causing big problems in small claims court, where people go without lawyers to settle disputes involving a few thousand dollars or less. William Gleberson of The Times writes that small claims courts in New York City have had to drastically cut back night sessions, the ones that allow people to appear without missing a day at work. Four of the five boroughs have cut down from four nights a week to just one, and on Staten Island, night small claims court meets just once a month. That can mean even small snags can produce lengthy delays in clearing cases, and new claims that are filed now won't get on the docket until sometime next year. Mr. Gleberson writes about a night session in Queens where tempers boiled over in some of the eight cases that the judge managed to try. 50 more cases that were ready for trial would just have to wait. Nearly a year after Congress passed financial reforms that are meant to rein in the banking sector, Louise Story reports in The Times that dozens of the most important new rules that have to be drafted under the law are far behind schedule with no end in sight. Regulators have had to extend the public comment period on the rules, and Wall Street firms are doing everything they can to stall or block some of the changes. The results may be that many new safeguards will not take hold in earnest until after the next election, when officials may want to back away from them. Michael Greenberger, a Maryland law professor who is in charge of writing some of the new rules, called the situation an attempt to kill the reforms through delay. And he said the difference between finishing the job in 8 or 9 months and finishing it in 2 years could be cataclysmic. So far, Ms. Story reports, 28 different deadlines have been missed, and only 24 out of the nearly 400 required new rules are completed. The area where the delays appear to be worst is derivatives, the complex financial instruments that contributed to the 2008 meltdown, but also made some traders and executives very wealthy. Finally, Jill Abramson, a former investigative reporter and Washington bureau chief for the New York Times, will become the paper's executive editor in early September, succeeding Bill Keller, who is stepping down to become a full-time writer for the paper. As the Times' top editor since 2003, Mr. Keller has led the paper's newsroom through 8 years of great journalistic distinction, but also a turbulent time in the news industry, marked by falling revenue and a major shift of readers' attention toward the Internet. Ms. Abramson has been managing editor for news since 2003. She'll be succeeded in that post by Dean Baquet, who is now the Washington bureau chief. Mr. Baquet was previously the editor of the Los Angeles Times. John Geddes will continue as the Times' managing editor for operations. And that's a preview of Friday's New York Times. For more on these and other stories, pick up a copy of the paper or visit nytimes.com. From the New York Times newsroom, I'm Pat Lyons.